All right, if you have your Bible, turn with me, please, in the 63rd division of the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 63, and I want to read the most of the chapter tonight, talk to you out of this chapter tonight. Good to see you in the house of God, good to be back this evening in the service, and good to see this good number in church on Monday night, and do appreciate all of you being here and being in the service tonight, and I've already enjoyed church, I hope you have, and a good singing tonight with the choir, and then these specials tonight, I sure have enjoyed hearing them tonight, and used to be an old man by the name of Lindy Clary, if I got his last name right. You remember, Brother Don, you remember him? And I want to tell you, heaven would come down when he would sing that song. I promise you that. He'd sing out in Myrtle, Mississippi. There'd be 1,000 people on the floor shouting at one time. And you say, you believe in that? I don't only believe in it, I practice it. Amen. And I like it. I sure do. And I appreciate the good singing tonight. My wife just sang, the others also. And good to be in the service tonight. I am humbled and honored also to see all the preachers tonight. And so good to see all of you in the service tonight. I appreciate you coming and being in the house of God. You know, some folk have the idea that preachers don't have anything to do. You know, pastors, all they do is just kind of get up and holler 3 times a week, and that's about it. And if you believe that, I have some oceanfront land in Montana I'd like to sell you. Amen. They're busy. I know they're busy. I know about that. I did that 37 years myself, and then these 13 years in evangelism. Now I know you're busy, and I appreciate you coming, being in service tonight. Brother Ralph over here, I really enjoyed being with him and his wife. Just a few weeks ago, I got the opportunity to sit and hear him preach several times over in Tennessee, and man, it's good to see them tonight. I've been all you other preachers, Brother Davis tonight, Brother Don Davis. I haven't seen him in a long time, and we got to serve a little bit together at Prayer Baptist. I used to be on their executive board there. Brother McAbee and I was there in the almost the beginning days of that. And then Brother Davis come along, stayed there several years and done a great job, and it's so good to see him tonight. And good to see all the preachers tonight, and I appreciate you being here and being in service tonight. Good to be in the house of God, and what a joy it is to be here tonight. Well, I'm telling you, don't come here if you're going to lose weight. Man, I'm telling you, the pastor's family, what a blessing tonight. Man, what a, had my favorite tonight. And man, I enjoyed it. And the 3 hardest things in the world to do. Number 1 is climb a fence leaning towards you. Number 2, kiss your wife leaning in the opposite direction. And number 3, preach after you get done eating like I just eat a while ago. If I went back the second time, I know she went back 4 times, didn't you? Had I not eaten the second time, I probably would be all right. So I probably won't preach over an hour and a half tonight. So, but anyhow, I really appreciate the good meal tonight. So good to be here and be in the service tonight. I want to pick up tonight where I left off last night. And if you remember last night, we closed out in 1 Samuel chapter 30. David is running from Saul. David's having a hard time. And of course, a lot of the makings that David had in 1 Samuel 27, 28, 29, and 30 was of his own making. He calls that. And running from Saul, wound up in Ziklag, and wound up dwelling in Gath's hometown. And what a tragedy it was. And but we kind of got on top of that before we got done last night. And one of the last verses I quoted last night was, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. And I want to say tonight, you can do that tonight. You can draw nigh to God. He'll help you if you let him tonight. And I'll promise you, if you'll draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. I want to pick up just about where I left off last night. Of course, that's another chapter. Look with me in Psalm 63, and let's stand together, please. Psalm 63. I think I'll have prayer and let you sit down. My good friend, Brother Sammy Allen, he wouldn't do that to you. You would stand a while. But I'm not going to do it. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you'll help us tonight. Lord, I realize tonight that I have something to do that I can't do by myself. And I realize tonight I'm standing in a place where men cannot stand alone if they do the will of God. And I want to be a blessing tonight, and I want to be a help tonight. And Lord, I need you tonight. I need the touch of God as we preach again tonight. I want to give you glory for last night. I want to give you glory for yesterday morning. I bless your good name for everything you've already done in the meeting. But God, this is a new time. This is a new service. And I realize tonight if you don't help us, our being here is going to be in vain. So I pray the Spirit of God will take the Word of God and work mightily in our hearts tonight. May all the will of God be done in the service tonight. And Lord, I have a number this large. There could be somebody here tonight that's never been to the Savior, has never been saved. And if there is tonight, I pray the Spirit of God will finger around their heart. God, you'll draw them by the power of God and save them by the good grace of God. I pray again, give us liberty, give us power, give us unction, and we'll thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go ahead and sit down because I want to take my time reading tonight. Bible said in the book of Psalms chapter 63 or the 63rd division of the book of Psalms tonight, it's about David again. And David again is running from Saul. And we're going to see something a little different tonight than we saw last night. Bible says in verse 1, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee, my flesh longs for thee, and a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. I like that verse of scripture. David said, God, I need you. I desire you. I'm thirsting after you. Notice the next verse. To see thy power and thy glory as I have seen in the sanctuary. I like seeing it there, don't you? Notice the next verse. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee out with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watch. That's a good thing to do. How because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings, how will I rejoice? My soul falleth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. They that seek my soul to destroy it shall go down into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for the foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. And everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. I'm interested tonight in all these chapters, so keep your Bible open. But don't you notice with me tonight, look at verse number 1 again. David said, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longs for thee. And a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. Look at verse number 8. Bible said, my soul follow hard after thee. Thou right hand uphold me. I want to talk to you a little while tonight on this thought out of this chapter. A thirst for God. A thirst for God. He says in verse 1, he says, my soul thirsteth for thee, and a dry and a thirsty land, a weary land. And David here has a thirst this afternoon for God. Let me say this before I get into the text tonight. When you come to this chapter tonight, instead of this chapter tonight, you'll find here in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms. And let me say this tonight, there's a lot of truth that's tucked away in the book of Psalms tonight. I love studying now the book of Psalms tonight. I love preaching out of it. And I have several different writers that I read after when I read the book of Psalms tonight. And in this Psalm tonight, in the Psalms tonight, how there's a world of truth that is tucked away in those Psalms tonight that a lot of people never dig out. And when you study this particular Psalm here tonight, you'll find the Holy Ghost. He's the author, and David is the penman here of this Psalm tonight. And when you walk down through the book of Psalms tonight, there's a lot of good things can be said about the Psalms tonight. And said in the Psalms tonight, you'll find the book of Psalms tonight is a history book. And when I say a history book, it's a history about Israel tonight. It certainly is a history book. The book of Psalms tonight is a hymn book.
How? Because they would sing the Psalms. How? It's a hymn book tonight. How? When you say the book of Psalms tonight, you'll find that it's a healing book. And how many times do we go to the book of Psalms? How to get healing for our soul? How? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not walk. How? It's a healing book tonight. May I say tonight, the book of Psalms tonight is a holy book. And what I mean by that is, it magnifies the sovereign God tonight. It's a holy book tonight. Hey, the book of Psalms tonight is a honey book. Hello, Tokyo. It's a honey book. Are you listening? Hey, there's honey oozing out of the book of Psalms tonight. I love studying it. But may I say tonight, the book of Psalms tonight is a hated book. And the reason I say that tonight is because the devil, he certainly hates the Word of God tonight. And how true that is. And when you come to this psalm here tonight, you'll find that David is running from Saul. Matter of fact, he's in a cave. We'll see that in just a minute. And he's running from Saul tonight. And when you study the life of David, especially the young life of David, how when he's a young man, you'll find David was in three places. First of all, if you study it, you'll see David out in the country. And that's where David learned about worship. That's where David wrote Psalm 23. You find him in the country. And then also you'll find David in his young life in Saul's court. And that's where he learned about wisdom. Also, if you study about David, you'll find him in a cave. That's where he learned about warfare. And in this psalm I just read tonight, that's where David is now. David is in a cave down by the Dead Sea, running from Saul this afternoon. How when you study this psalm, the background to it. And let me say this tonight. How when you come to this psalm tonight here, David is in the cave. And can I say this? Most of the time, the men you find in the Bible in the cave is away from God. Now, David's not away from God in this psalm, but most of them are. How many remember the story about Lot? How many remember the last steps of Lot's backsliding? Are y'all with me tonight? The last steps of Lot's backsliding. In Genesis, you study it. Genesis chapter 19. You'll find he's in a cave with his two daughters. And of course they have sex. He has sex with them. And you know the story there. That's where the Moabites come from. Are you listening to me? How sad, how tragical that is tonight. It was in a cave where that happened. I thought about Elijah. Did I have Elijah's book when I was here last? Y'all need to get my book on Elijah. I'll guarantee you'll like it. Wonderful outlines. It's a new book. But anyhow, what I started to say was this. When you study the life of Elijah, you'll find Elijah in a cave. And that's an amazing thing to me. After chapter 18 of the book of 1 Kings, then you come into chapter 19. And what happened was this. Elijah quit listening to the word of the Lord and started listening to the word of Jezebel. He sure did. And he took off running. And he wound up in a mess. He wound up under a juniper tree. Elijah had one of the greatest pity parties that's ever been. And Elijah winds up in a cave. And it's an amazing thing to me. I thought about this today. Elijah there in that cave in 1 Kings 19. 19 verses prior to that, he prayed fire down from heaven. How about that? 19 verses prior to that, you see him praying fire down from heaven. How about there you find him in a cave? And how sad that is. And by the way, Elijah's having a tremendous pity party. Elijah said, ain't nobody cares. There's nobody preaching. I'm the only one left. You ever felt like that? I'm the only one standing. I'm the only one left. My wife and I say this sometimes. We feel like we're in the wrong generation. The generation I was brought up in is quite different than the generation today. My son, which is my pastor, tells me quite often, Daddy, God done you a real favor when he took you out of the pastorate and put you in evangelism because you couldn't handle it now. I don't know, I pastored him 37 years, but anyhow, are you listening to me? And it is a different generation. And I just want to say this to you now. Elijah, when you said about Elijah this afternoon, Elijah, he had the mentality, there's nobody standing, there's nobody preaching. You ever get that Elijah complex? You know, you're in it by yourself. And God says to Elijah, you don't know what you're talking about. Man, I've got 7,000 that's not bowed their knee to Baal. So I want to say tonight, these men you find most of the time, how when you find them in a cave, they're away from God. How about in this chapter tonight, how David is running from Saul. And David gives us some wonderful truths. How this chapter tonight, I'll not preach this, I wrote it down. How, in verse number 1 through 3, you see David loaning after God. Verse 4 through 8, you see David living for God. How verse 9 through 14, you see David looking for God. How about I'm interested in those verses I read here tonight. Bible said, David said here in this verse tonight, my soul thirsteth for thee. My heart cries out for thee. And David is thirsting for God. Hey, David is thirsting for the Lord to move and for God to help him and for God to stir him. And I'll say this about David. I know we looked at the negative side last night. And he was in a mess when he got to Ziklag. I'll promise you that. How about in this chapter, if you study it, you'll find David really was a man after God's own heart. Help me. How he really was. Study your Bible. How he really was a man after God's own heart. And you see some of that here in this chapter tonight. How David is thirsting for God. Hey, David is thirsting for the presence of God. Hey, David is thirsting after God and want God to help him tonight. I want to ask you a question real quick. You ever get thirsty? I'm not talking about this. I'm not talking about that. You ever get thirsty for God? You ever get to long him for the Lord? Jesus said the last day of the great day of the feast. Jesus stood and cried and said, if any man will thirst and come out to me, how his belly shall flow out rivers of living water. Hey, I said, do you ever get thirsty for God? I said, do you ever get longing for God to show up? I love this verse right here. Isaiah 44 verse 3. I'll pour water. I'll pour water upon him that is thirsty. And floods upon dry ground. Do you ever get thirsty for God? Hey, do you ever get to longing for God to show up and God help you and God stir your heart? Are you listening? I can live without a lot of things. But I can't live without the presence of God. I can live without this and that and the other. But I'm telling you, I long for God. I love him tonight. I appreciate his goodness tonight. Hey, I desire the touch of God. I long for the Lord tonight. I want to give you two or three things. Don't say this before I preach. Last year, my wife and I, God, allowed me to preach in 75 churches last year. It's going to be more than that this year, it looks like. But here's what I started saying. 75 churches last year. And I ain't say this, preacher, but it's the truth. I don't know anything about the Pentecostals. I don't know anything about the Methodists. I don't know anything about the Church of God. I don't know anything about the Episcopalians. But I know a whole lot about Baptists. And I won't tell you, I go places sometime. I'm telling you, bless God, it's so dry. If you struck a match, a whole outfit would burn down in 35 seconds. Are y'all hearing me this afternoon? I know you don't have to jump a pew. I know you don't have to swing off the chandelier. But I will tell you tonight, I want God. I say I want God. I say I want God. Are you listening? I just want him. And I have a thirst and a desire in my soul. And to have the touch of God. I want to walk down through this with you tonight. Don't you see what I'm getting ready to say? I want to say, first of all tonight, David is thirsting. As a heart panteth after the water brook. Now I'll use that verse in a minute. David is thirsting. Again, Jesus said the last day of the feast, he stood and cried and said, if any man thirst, if any man thirst. Hey, fellas, do you ever get tired of the same old, same old?
Yes, sir.
Are you hearing me now? Do you ever get tired of this doing the same old thing over and over again? Boy, what a difference when God shows up.
Amen.
I say what a difference how when God shows up. I want you to give you two or three things and I'll be done. Number one, I'll say, first of all, David is thirsting. Look at verse 1 again. David is thirsting for the presence of God. Notice in verse number 1. Oh God, thou art my God. And this is a good time to seek him. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longs for thee. In a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. David is saying, God, I want you. Above everything else, I want you. I desire, I thirst after you. If you study your Bible, you'll find this afternoon, quite often the Bible, it talks about the presence of God. Bible talks about in Genesis 3:8, Adam went out from the presence of God. Genesis chapter 4, verse 16, and Cain went from the presence of God. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 27, glory and honor are in His presence. Bible said in Psalm 16, verse number 11, in Thy presence is the fullness of joy. Hey, hear me tonight. I want the presence of God. I want the presence. Are y'all hearing me preach tonight? I say I want the presence of God. Are you listening? And notice in the verse again, David said, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longs for Thee. I want to ask you a question. What's your flesh longing for? What's your flesh after tonight? What's your flesh driving you towards tonight? David said, my flesh here this afternoon, is crying out for the living God. Hear me tonight. That's my desire tonight. I've been saved 54 years, and I feel the same way I think Paul said, Philippians 3:10, that I might know Him. He'd been saved a long time when he made that statement, that I might know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. Hear me tonight. I just want the divine presence of God. Are you hearing me? And notice in this text here tonight, there's a reason David was crying for the presence of God. Look at verse 1 again. Oh God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longs for Thee. Watch this part. In a dry Baptist church. In a dry and a thirsty land. Are you listening to me? In a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. Hey, I'll tell you this tonight. He was desiring the presence of God because it was dry. It was dry. You hear me tonight? Hey, I'll say it again. I just want God. Listen, I enjoy the presence of God. Don't you like it when He shows up? Hey, don't you like it, praise God, how when He shows up and gets a blessed and scared for the glory of God? Oh, hear me tonight. I have preached with Him, and I have preached without Him. And I will tell you, there ain't much preaching without Him. But when He shows up, I'm telling you that David is saying, I'm thirsting for the presence of God. My soul, he says, it's dry. It's a weary land. And I'll say to you and I this evening, I don't care what size church you got, whether you got 5 or 500 or 5,000. All is vain except the Holy One come down. I say it's never been in vain unless the Spirit of God moves and stirs our soul. Are you listening? David is saying, man, I want your presence. I want your presence. I like what old Job said. I used a little of this yesterday. You remember Job? What Job happened? Job lost his family. Job lost his finances. Job lost his friends. Matter of fact, Job 16, verse 20, Bible said, and Job's friends scorned him. They laughed at him. They made fun of him. And Job said in Job 23, verse number 3, Job said, oh, that I might knew where that I might find Him. Are y'all hearing me now? I want Him. I said I want Him above everything else. And notice in this text here tonight, you see David's heart. Three times in verse number 1, David says, Thee, I thirst for Thee, I long for, look at the verse, oh God, Thou art my God, early will I seek, come back and give me that next word, Thee, my soul thirsteth for, somebody give me that word, Thee, I ain't got my hearing aids in, I can't hear, Thy flesh longs for, what's that next word? Three times in that verse, David said, God, I just want You. I just want You. And I'll tell you something, there's no substitute for the presence of God. He can do more in 1 minute than I can do in 5 years. I say, I bless His name. I say, David, He's longing for that companionship. I want You, Lord. Let me ask you a question tonight. How real is God to you? Is this something we put on Sunday morning and Sunday night and take off and come back in on Wednesday night, put it back on when we come back in? Can I tell you something real quick? I found He's just as good on Monday morning as He is Sunday morning. I say hallelujah. I say bless His name. I have camp meeting just driving sometime. How, you say you've lost your mind. No, I'm not. I'm telling you. I have kept meeting sit behind the steering wheel sometime. The presence of God. Not the presence of God is far. The presence of God is to bless you. And to help you. And to stir you. You say, how about the prayer of God? I'll say something about that in a minute. But the presence of God is to assure you. And to bless you. And to strengthen you. And to help you. Hallelujah. Are you listening? I get driving down the road sometime.
Yeah.
Boy, the back of my heart just starts standing up. I'm telling you, them God bumps begin to pop out of my arm. My sleeves go to popping up. Are y'all hearing me? Hey, it's nothing like the presence of God. Oh, David said, I want you. And by the way, that's what revival's about. Let's get to God, man. Let's get to God. Are you listening? Let God bless you and help you. Some years ago, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm driving a Greyhound. It's like a Greyhound. It was an old Greyhound. I had a whole load of teenagers and young people in that Greyhound headed to North Dakota. I'm driving, everybody else asleep. And I put this cassette tape in. Most of you don't even know what a cassette tape is. But I put this, we're getting ready to find out, dang, we're not going to know what CDs are. And getting ready, but here's what I started to say. I put a cassette player in. I don't remember exactly who it was that was singing. I know the song they were singing. I'm not going to sing any of it because I want you to stay for the service. But I do remember the song. I know what he did for me. I know what he did for me. What's the name of that song? What Jesus did for me. I'm going through South Dakota, headed North Dakota, 3 o'clock in the morning. Son, that thing got to playing. I'm telling you, bless God, my eyeballs begin to change holes. I'm telling you, it got foggy in that old bus. I was having help me to thank God. Why everybody else is snoring? Don't ask your question. How real is he to you? Are you hearing me tonight? I'm talking about him tonight. His presence tonight. How long's it been since you had a good old-fashioned shout and spell and God touched you and the presence of God overshadowed you? Don't you like it? Don't you like it tonight when then you're sitting back here and choir is singing and all of a sudden that unseen guest shows up. That power got that unseen guest shows up. Folk begin to shout. Are you hearing me tonight? I want to ask you to have, do you desire his presence tonight? You say, well, I'm not interested in that. Will you do me a favor? Pray God give me your part. I want everything I can get.
Amen.
Hey, I'm telling you now, I got to move on. I'll tell you this now. David was desiring the presence of God more than anything in the world. Hey, I want to ask you a question. If you drove away from your house, driven away from your house, exiled from your home, exiled from your bed, exiled from your palace, exiled from your people, away from everything, in a cold, dark, lonely cave, what would you be thirsting after? Are y'all hearing me preach tonight? David didn't thirst after his enemy. David didn't thirst after his bed. David didn't thirst after his home. David didn't thirst after the palace. But David said, oh God, I love, I long for you. Hear me tonight. I desire the presence of, that's what revival's about. I want God to show up. We don't have revival if God don't show up. I'm telling you, we go through the motion all we want to, but we deceive ourselves. Hey, David desired the presence of God. I want to say quickly tonight, David didn't only thirst for the presence of God. And I thought about this again today. By the way, that's one of the best beds I have ever slept in my life. Brother Self knows it is. He said he knew it was a good bed. He's used it several times. But what I started to say was this. That's one of the best beds I've ever slept in. I'm not just saying that to make y'all feel good. I mean that. It's one of the cleanest places I've ever been preaching. I'm in a different place. There ain't a motel in America can take place where I'm at tonight. Are y'all hearing me? It's wonderful. You travel, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's wonderful. And I thank God for the good place I'm staying. I feel comfortable there. I ain't worried about a thing. Have any problem? We don't have a problem in the world that God and my thing beside me can't take care of. Are you listening? It's wonderful. But I'll tell you, it's not my bed. It's not my home. It's not my bed. I have my bed. I have a butt now, Max. I'd raise my bed up like this if I want to. And are you listening? It's wonderful. But I'll tell you, David wasn't thirsting after his bed. David wasn't even thirsting after the blood of his enemy Saul. David could have killed him many times, but he didn't. He wouldn't touch God's anointing. That's a good lesson. Are you listening to me? I just want to say this to you now. David was thirsting for the presence of God. Let me read the verse again. Let me read it one more time. Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee. In a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. Does it ever get dry down at your house? Does it ever get dry at your church? I tell you what will help that. An old-fashioned prayer meeting to help that. I tell you something else that'll help that. Miss a few meals will help that. Are you, boy, get quiet right there. Are you listening to me? I want to tell you tonight, David is desiring the presence of God. David's thirsting after the presence of God. I want to say number two quickly out of this text. David wasn't only thirsting for the presence of God, but look at verse two. To see thy power in thy glory, so as I have seen in the sanctuary. David wasn't only thirsting for the presence of God, but in this text tonight, David's thirsting for the power of God. And may I say this tonight, the presence of God is to bless us, but the power of God is to enable us to do what we need to do. Hope you got what I just said. I said the presence of God is to help us and encourage us and to bless us. But the power of God is available to help you and I do the service that God wants us to do. I want to tell you, David said, I want to see your power above everything else. And by the way, can I say this? If you've ever seen a real move of the power of God, you will never be satisfied with anything other than that. I have preached hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, 1,500 plus meetings. I'm not bragging, I'm just saying what's happened. And not everywhere I go I see that. I won't tell you, sometimes they're few and far between. I mean, they go through the motion at church. We do our little thing, go the way, and seem to be pretty good. But I'll tell you something tonight, one more time. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One, that power of God. Hear me tonight. David was thirsty. He said he'd seen it. Look at verse 2. To see thy power and thy glories I've seen in the sanctuary. And if you've ever seen that, of all the meetings I've been around in my life, and I was around them a long time before I ever started preaching, because my daddy was a preacher. Of all that I've ever been around, I've really only seen about 5 revivals in my lifetime. 5. And I want to tell you, friend, when God sets down on a place, when God chooses, you can't make Him do nothing. You asked Him. We got to be obedient. We can ask Him, we can beg Him, we can pray. But when God chooses to set out on a place, I'm not a Calvinist, don't look at me like that. You got to pray. Are you listening to me? When we pray and seek the face of God, if my people which are called by my name, that's still true tonight. When God chooses to set out on a place, you'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. My son-in-law, which pastors in Elkin, North Carolina, thanks to Calvary Baptist Church, they had a youth meeting this weekend. Friday night they had Justin Cooper and Bradley Boone. I know y'all don't have no idea who Bradley Boone is. He's from Burnsville, North Carolina, an old-time mountain preacher. And old Bradley got done preaching on revival out of the book of Habakkuk. When he got done preaching, it was over. I'm telling you, that thing went into orbit. I know some of y'all probably don't understand that. It went absolutely into orbit. And my wife, I was away preaching. I was somewhere preaching Friday night, Thursday night last week. And that night she didn't go with me. She stayed at home and she wasn't able to go because she's packing it ready to leave again. We go home so we can leave. But anyhow, she watched it. And then my son sent me some clips of it. And Rebecca called and Rebecca said, Mama, Daddy, said it was like 2016 tonight at our church. In 2016, we had a youth meeting. Started with just 2 or 3 days, wound up going 5 weeks. 210 people got saved. 9 men answered the call. I can't explain it. Are you listening to me now? If you've ever seen anything like that, I'm preaching good. Are y'all hearing me now? Do you long for that tonight? Oh, preacher, we just got, let's just go to church and we got to be out here a certain time.
was preaching in a certain place and a certain place and a certain place the other week. That's as far as I'm going with the place. And the preacher said, now you can preach as long as you want to, but at 5 minutes out of 12, they're going to get up and start going out. They're going to leave. You can preach 12:30 if you want to, but they'll leave. Are you listening? Just look up here and listen to me. I'm not just for preaching to 12:30 or 1 o'clock. I don't do that normally. But anyhow, I really don't. But if you think you're going to put God in a little box and say, God, here it is. Now you got to do it from 11. And most time in them place, they don't give the pulpit between 12. And are you listening? I'm not griping. I'm just telling you this now. You're not going to put God in a little box. It doesn't work that way at all. Hey, I'll tell you tonight, David said, I remember the sanctuary. I remember the power of God, how that God moved. If you've ever seen that, you'll never be satisfied with anything other than that. And by the way, Grace Baptist Church has seen that. Down through the years, you've had those extended meetings and God show up. I want it again, man. I said, God, do it again. Thank God. Do it again. Are you listening? David is thirsting. Not only for the presence of God, David is thirsting for the power of God. Let me tell you something. We're zero without God. Little boy was writing a letter to God, praying to God. Here's what he said. He was praying. Dear God, before I finish my prayer, I want you to take your mama and daddy and sister and brother. And please, God, take care of yourself. Because we'll be sunk without you. Isn't that so true? I want to say David is thirsting for the power of God. And by the way, we need power to worship. We need power to live. We need power to walk right. Hey, we need power to do right. Aren't you glad today you get saved, the Holy Ghost comes in? You say you had the baptism of the Holy Ghost 54 years ago. And you said you speak in tongues. I don't cuss no more. Does that count? I don't lie anymore. Does that count? Hello, are you listening? I'm telling you now, David is thirsting for the power of God. Power to worship, man. Hey, when God sits down in the presence of God and the power of God, God sits down. We worship Him. We magnify Him. And by the way, can I say this? He demands our worship. He desires our worship. He deserves our worship. And our worship will be all in vain without Him. I say, do it again, God. I say, do it again. Stir our heart. Revive our church. Get us excited again. David's thirsting for the power of God. David's thirsting for the presence of God. But look in verse 3. I'm not going to finish this, but look in verse 3. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. David is thirsting for the praises of God. David is saying, sure would like to hear somebody brag on the Lord. Sure would like to hear somebody magnify Him. Sure would like to hear somebody make much of Jesus. And by the way, that's what revival is about. It's not about the evangelists. It's not about the singers. It's all about Him. And I would say David is thirsting for the praises of God. Notice where David's praises originate. And by the way, if you've never praised God, you ought to ask God to forgive you. Amen. Notice where David's praises originate. Look at verse 6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watch. Hey, I want to ask you a question. Do you ever go home at night and lay down to bed and just get to thinking about how good God is? Are you listening? Son, I get so excited sometimes, I kick a cover plumb into the other end of the house. Are you listening? David said, while I'm laying there in the bed, I begin to meditate in verse number 6. Laying upon my bed, I meditate thee in the night watch. You ever heard anybody say this? I tell you what I do. When I go to bed tonight, if I can't go to sleep, I count sheep. Well, isn't that wonderful? Why would you want to count sheep? Why would you want to fool with that when you fellowship with a shepherd? Are you listening? Hey, and I love it tonight. I'm glad He gives His beloved sleep tonight. And I want to tell you, I go home sometime and I'll lay down my bed and I'll get to think about, I wonder why God's so good to us. My wife and I, she says this quite often. We've been married 54 years and I'll tell you what she's thinking right now. Right now, I'll tell you what she's thinking. You want me to tell you what she's thinking? I'm going to tell you what she's thinking. Here's what she's thinking. She's thinking this. Wonder why God has been so good to us. We'll drive down the road and she'll look over at me and I'll say it before she says it, or I'll look over to her and she'll say it before I say it. Hello? Are you listening? You ever get thinking about wondering why God... Let me tell you something now. You got a whole lot to praise Him for tonight. I'll promise you. David said, I long for the praises of God. I long for... Look at verse 3. I got to hurry. He said, because thy loving kindness. You know why you ought to praise Him? Because His loving kindness. Yeah. God, Israel was a special people because of the love of God to them. And I'll say to you and I tonight, I ought to praise Him. Now, let me tell you this real quick. If I got what I deserve, I'd be in hell. But because His loving kindness, because of His mercy. Let me ask you a question. Are there anybody in this room deserve to be saved? Anybody in this room think you've done enough merit, enough works to be saved? You go to hell like a bullet if you believe that. Are you listening to me? It's all grace and mercy. I was preaching the other day in jail, and I preached out of Ephesians chapter 2. And you have He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, who walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit of disobedience that works in us. And He goes right down through that. But in verse 4, He changes. But He said, but God, who is rich in mercy. And I preached the other day, I preached on this thought, when mercy steps in, mercy will step in your world tonight. Mercy will change your world tonight. Mercy, hey, are you hearing me? I'm telling you tonight, we deserve nothing. His love and kindness. We ought to praise Him because of that. His love and kindness. Look at verse 4. He says, verse 3, because thy love and kindness is better than life. My lips. Hello. My lips. Well, now, Brother Barker, you know, I'm backward and I'm shy. And I'm not one to vocal. I'm not one with my lips to speak out. I don't want to make you mad at me. But I want to say to you, you're lying. You'll say, I'm not lying. Go down at Walmart and let them cut you short $3 and change. Let's see if you can speak. Are you listening? Are you listening? Let somebody do you wrong. Let's see how silent you are. I will tell you, everybody ought to praise God. I heard somebody say this the other day and I thought about it. I'm not sure that we've ever really praised God or really worshiped God until we embarrass the flesh. Are y'all hearing me preach tonight? I never will forget the first time God filled me with the Holy Ghost. Yes, I'm an independent Baptist. And that's what you need too. I'll never forget, probably 2:00 in the morning, at the old Myrtle Baptist Church, above the tabernacle. A bunch of young preachers went over there. It's been 48 years ago. 48, been preaching 50 years. It'd been 48 years, and I never will forget. I didn't know what to do, man. I found myself trying to climb the wall. By the way, you talk about not talking. I didn't talk before God called me to preach, and I didn't talk before I got saved. I dated my wife 3 times before I ever spoke to her. If I'm telling the truth, raise your hand real high. That's the God's truth. But ever did that change when God called me to preach? And when the Holy Ghost gets on you, hello, hey, you'll have something to say. And not only that, you'll understand what you're saying. And everybody else will too. Hey, David said, I thirst for the praises of God. Hallelujah. Bless His name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless His name. Are you listening? You say, Brother Barker, all that would be in the flesh. Well, when you're not in the flesh, I don't want to see you. Are you listening? David's thirsting for the praises of God. I got to close this. David's not only thirsting for the power of God. David's thirsting for the presence of God. David's thirsting for the praises of God. Look at verse 7. I'm going to skip this. Look at verse 7. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul follow hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go down into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for the foxes. David's thirsting, last of all, for the protection of God. God, take care of me. And by the way, David could have learned that. If he'd learned that last night, what I was preaching on, he'd been better off. You don't need to go to the land of Philistines to get help. I'm preaching good. God will help you right where you're at. So here's what I want to say, and I'm done. David's thirsting for the protection of God. David is simply saying, I want you to watch after me, Lord. Those that would do me wrong, Lord, you take care of it. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Notice the place of David's protection. Notice where it's at in verse 7. He said, in the shadow of thy wings. And by the way, that statement is found four times in Psalms. Here's a good outline. Psalm 57, under the shadow of thy wings. Out of that scripture, there's salvation. Psalm 17, verse number 7 through 9. Under the shadow of his wings, he makes mention of, is security. Psalm 36 and verse 7 and 8, under the shadow of his wings, thy satisfaction. Psalm 63, verse 7, under the shadow of his wings, thy safety. You ought to preach on that sometime. I think I will. But listen to this. Hit the place of his protection. He said, under the shadow of thy wing. And I'll say this tonight. David's simply thirsting for the protection of God. I'm gonna skip this. And I want to say this and I'm done. I want everything God's got for me. I want every touch. I want His anointing. I want everything God's got. I want His presence. Well, you say, well, preacher, you're doing is coveting that. Sure I am. I want Him, man. If you don't, pray Him on me. I want Him. I love Him tonight. I appreciate His goodness tonight. I appreciate the grace of God. And not only that, I'll say in closing, I don't only want it, I want my young'uns. Amen. I want my children to have it. I'd rather my daughter call me Friday night. She called my mama. She called my wife. I'd rather my daughter call my wife Friday night and say, Mama, you ain't gonna believe the service. Of course, she did believe it because she saw it on the internet. She was packing up, getting ready to come here. And I said, we're preaching, but she's taking care of it. And what I started to say was this. She said, Mama, you ain't gonna believe what happened. It's like it was in 2016. And guess what? My son was there. My daughter-in-law was there. My three granddaughters that Jonathan has was there. My granddaughter that Jeremy and Rebecca has was there. My grandson, which is a preaching machine, was there. My great-grandson was there. My great-granddaughter was there. My other great-granddaughter was there. And my other great-granddaughter was there. I'd rather they be there than be sent somewhere in a stupid football stadium, hooping and hollering. Are you listening to me? I don't know how it is in this county where we're at, but in the county where I come from, the God of Yakin County is Baal. I heard an old preacher say this. I said, I heard an old preacher say this. He said he knew a group of Baptists. If a ball fell off into hell, they'd go after it. I'll leave that right where it's at. But if you live where I live, you know why he made that statement. I'll tell you tonight. I've never got at a ball game, and I'm not preaching against playing ball. If you want to go to a ball game, go when you're not having church. But here's what I started to say to you. I've never got at a ball game while I get to the house of God. Man, come in here and God show up. And what I started to say was this. My grandbabies and great-grandbabies and my wife got to see that Friday night. I was some more preaching, but they got to see it. I want my youngins to have that. You know, the Bible talks about, and I'm not going to preach on it. Will you come up here so I quit preaching? Numbers chapter 14. God told Caleb, said, I'm going to give you another spirit. And boy, he had a different spirit. He had another spirit. And he said, I'm going to give it to you. And it didn't close, but just said, I'm going to give it to Caleb. He said, I'm going to give it to you and your family seed. Your seed's going to have it. Can I tell you this tonight? I just want God. I just want to come here and tell you tonight and pray God to put a thirst in your heart for God tonight. That's what revival's about. God. You'll work a bus ride a whole lot easier if you got God with you. You'll teach a Sunday school class a whole lot easier if you got God on you. You'll sing a whole lot better in the choir if you just got the touch of God on you tonight. What are you thirsting for? What are you longing for? Do you ever get to craving and longing for the presence of God and the touch of God? I want that, man. I want that. That's like putting grease on an axle. I shouldn't use that illustration. Y'all have no idea what I'm talking about. It's hard grinding when there's no grease on there. But when you put that axle grease on there, son, she's smooth. And I will tell you, when the Holy Ghost shows up and God shows up, you'll say, what determines that? How you live and how you do daily, how you pray. You come to church expecting nothing, you'll not get nothing. But you come to church looking for God, looking for something, you'll get something. Amen. Anybody got a thirst for God? Anybody want God? Our Heavenly Father, as we stand to our feet, I pray the Spirit of God will work in our hearts tonight. Lord, I had other things I could have preached, and I probably had prettier outlines than I had tonight. But it's what you burned in my heart when I left this pulpit last night. A thirst for God. I want your presence. I sure want your power. I want to praise you. And I certainly want your protection. And I pray tonight, dear God, as she begins to play right softly on the piano, I pray the Spirit of God will work in our hearts tonight. I pray there'll be some people in this building tonight will get hungry. They'll get thirsty. They'll get a craving in their heart. They'll get a desire in their heart for a move of God in their life. Oh, God, give us a move this week here. God, do a work, deep work in the heart of the people to Grace Baptist Church this week. God, I pray, help us have that desire and that longing in our heart tonight. May you move in the hearts of your people just now. I want you, Lord. I want your touch. I want your power. And I pray you'll help us tonight. Our heads are bowed and nobody looking around. I probably could ask you to raise your hand if you want more of God or a touch of God or more of a touch of God on your life. I'm sure you'd probably raise your hand. If you're able and can come to the altar, I tell you what you ought to do right now. You ought to slip out more you're standing. Come bow around this altar tonight and say, dear God, I want more of you. I want your power. I want your touch. I want your blessings on my life. I want you to help me. How about it tonight? You got a desire for God? A thirst for God. Anybody else want to come while these are praying? You come on right now. While others, you come on right now. A thirst for God. A thirst for God. Boy, I want that. Man, I want that. Preacher's coming to the pulpit in just a second. Before I pray, let me say this to you. If you're in this building, you're not saved tonight, you're in a good place to get saved. If you're not saved, I wonder right before I pray, if you just raise your hand and by raising your hand say, preacher, I'm either not saved or I'm not sure. Would you pray for me tonight? I don't want to go to hell. I want to be saved before it's too late. Anybody anywhere? Anybody anywhere? Anybody anywhere? I'm looking. Father, please speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, you burdened my heart to preach on this thought. Now I pray you'll put a hunger and a thirst and a desire, Lord, in our hearts tonight for the things of God. Help me, help us do a work this week. Meet every need around the altar. Meet other needs possibly that didn't move that needed to. And we'll thank you for all you do. I pray in Jesus' name.